C1S, number 28B.
This is the sixth state subject. Now we come to the last, love, which I have epitomized as saying Christian Science brings full salvation from sin, sickness, and death. Materia Medica does not. Well, that's my summary. It just tries to show that now she summarizes all what she has been saying up to now and say, can you see now that the answer is Christian Science or Divine Science, and that Materia Medica isn't the answer for salvation. Materia Medica may be the answer in many cases, and we are glad it does in many cases, for changing something in the corporeal structure of man. But mankind, that's a different proposition, can only be healed through spirit, through a spiritual science, not through Materia Medica. So that the healing of mankind rests on Christian Science. She gives now a short summary on a high plane of what she has been saying before. The following subtones are more or less indicative of the subject that went before. You see it at once when we start, that in the first point she says that mind governs the body in every instance. See, our first subject was that God created mind as the only medicine. So now she summarizes here and says that mind governs the body not in one instance, but in every instance. Then she gives a summary of the second tone of spirit, which we had, you know, where she said that mind only acts through spiritual means. Here she says the indestructible faculties of spirit exist without the conditions of matter. See again a summary of that big second subject, that the medicine of mind is not dependent on material remedies. Then the third subject we had was the rules of medicine. Here again we have the rules of science are practical. Then in the fourth big subject we had that all classifications of disease can be healed by the same principle. And here she brings in the same thing, that she says that the full understanding of the divine principle heals all classifications of disease, because she speaks here that the author has restored health in case of both acute and chronic disease in their severest forms. And then makes an account of all the various things she has healed. Secretions have been changed, the structure has been renewed, shortened limbs have been elongated, ankylosed joints have been made supple, and carious bones have been restored to healthy condition. I have restored what is called the lost substance of the lungs. The healthy organization have been established where disease was organic. Christian Science heals organic disease as surely as it heals what is called functional, for it requires only a fuller understanding of the divine principle of Christian Science to demonstrate its higher rule. Can you see how she summarizes there again the big fourth subject that says, with this one principle I did deal with all, with every kind of disease. Then our big fifth subject was showing in life that the fatherhood of life, that either we father ourselves positively, namely by entertaining the divine mind, then we will increase in health. Negatively, if we entertain always the negative, then this is destructive to our health. Here she gives authority of various famous physicians who have said how destructive a medicine is in their view. She gives six quotes And the first three quotes have the tone of life, and the second three quotes seem to have the tone of truth, because the first three quotes deal all with this destructive nature of medicine. But they have said that it has done incalculable mischief, you see, that it is learned quackery, that without a single physician, surgeon, chemist, druggist, or drug, there would be less sickness and less mortality. That another one said that medicine has destroyed more lives than war, pestilence, and famine combined. You can hear the tone of these statements are all on the destructive nature of medicine as such. Then the next three quotes from this apparently famous doctors are all on the point of the reverse of truth, namely that materia medica is contradictory, that they say that it is just a multitude of hypotheses, that they differ from time to time, that they contain absurdity, contradiction, falsehood, that the contrarieties of medical doctrine cannot be harmonized, that there is no systematic or theoretical classification, and none of them is true. That's what she quotes from the medical faculty itself. John Morgan has just told me that looking up those various people and seeing when they have lived, and he made the discovery that the one that lived longest died over 120 years ago or something like that. So these statements must have been made perhaps 120, 130, 140 years ago. And that, I think, is something which today thinking forward intelligent men will no more accept, that a verdict which was given by a human 140 years ago in a science that has undergone such a great change and has made such progress in various ways, that is applicable to the present state. So today I'm sure, or I hope, that Mrs. Eddy, if she would write this book, would not quote people who have lived 140 years ago, before surgery has made this enormous progress, before we have had all the great inventions in the medical field. But fundamentally, the modern physicists, modern medical people say the same thing. Namely, what they said in that subtone of life, that it is destructive. Because if I just quote again Professor Joris, you see that he says, well, really, what we have done with medical practice is to make people to live longer, but to live longer as chronics, not as healthy people. What we have done with medicine is to prevent people from solving their problems, and so it is just postponing the solution. See, it would have been perhaps a bit a gentler tone in it, not so, but fundamentally it remains the same, that medicine as such, material medicine as such, is destructive, because it does not go to the bottom of the cause, namely to man's inward life. It doesn't go to life of the man. And he says, they have said in these quotes that materia medica is contradictory. Well, today they say the same thing, in other words. But they say, well, if there are 30,000 different drugs, it shows that they cannot heal, or there wouldn't be 30,000 different drugs. So pharmacy must be contradictory in itself. They say medicine is contradictory in itself because medicine is going to diagnose on a scientific level the case and are prescribing on a scientific level the remedy, and then the contradiction comes in that the patient reacts not scientifically but magically on his belief. So the fundamental contradiction remain, but they would be stated on a higher level of greater insight into the whole subject today. That's why I was bold enough to say that today Mr. Zeddy would, I'm sure, write such a chapter anew, but not anew in its structure, because the structure is the eternal structure of the days of creation. It's the eternal structure that matter cannot bring forth life. That remains just the same. But one would be more intelligent and more adapted to the present stage of research in the various sciences. So the last subtone says that divine science really is all saving. Here it is the tone of the all. She says that all human systems based on material premises are minus the unction of divine science. You see, it boils down to this simple fact which she says here, that everything which is human and material is not divine. So no matter what this human or material system is bringing forth as wonders and phenomenal exhibition, it makes no sense. It can't make sense, because only the divine plane makes sense. Only the divine plane of divine science has a plane which makes sense, which has in view a finalistic view, which is perfection. And therefore, can only divine science can work out for mankind the divine plane. It can't be substituted by a human science. No matter how deep devotion and thought and energy and affection and everything is put into it, because the basis is wrong, it cannot produce something saving and renewing. So that the aim which she gives here is that all mankind is to be saved, that all the mental microbes of sin and all diseased thought germs to be exterminated. Can you see the tone of love which exterminates everything which is unlike love? But it does not exterminate the microbes. It only exterminates the mental microbes, because we have seen, like with TB, that the microbes by themselves are jolly nice little fellows. They don't harm us at all if we don't let them harm us. It's the mental attitude and the mental status within us that makes them to be bad, but they are not bad. They can't think as far as that they want to harm us. Therefore she says it's the mental microbes. It's not the disease itself which she wants to exterminate, but all diseased thought germs, see, which is to be exterminated. That has to be exterminated within us. Then she adds the last paragraph, which she added only as late as 1907, in which she asked, well, if you or I should appear to die, would that disprove what I have said? Would death be a disproof of what has been stated? And she answers it through three different stages or planes of science. She answers it first on the plane of Christian science by saying that that wouldn't disprove it, but it would prove the very proposition which she has given here, namely, that mortal thought does actually rule materiality and miscalled life in body. and that the majority of human belief rules. That, she says. See, that's on the plane of Christian Science. She says, well, if you or I are going to die, does that disprove what is said in here, that truth is life and not death? He says, no, it only proves what I said here, namely that because you have not risen to the absolute state of Christian Science, therefore the majority of belief rule the minority of belief. And death is a universal belief. Death is a universal belief which has existed long before man existed and long before our ancestors were climbing the trees. It existed with the animals, it existed with the birds, it existed with the plants. Death is a universal belief. And we know how Mrs. Eddy says that Jesus could only resuscitate Lazarus because he did not believe that Lazarus ever lived in body and therefore could die in body. That if we resurrect our thought that all must die, then only then we begin really to handle the belief of death. So on that plane, she would say, well, death would only be a proof of what I have said here, that the majority of belief rules the minority of belief. But then she goes on and shows it from the plane of absolute Christian Science and says, but the paramount fact remains, now she comes to the absolute, that even if we seem to die, that the paramount fact, the absolute fact remains that life, truth and love do save from sin, disease and death. See? And then she lifts it even higher to the plane of divine science, where she says that by putting on divine science, death is swallowed up in victory. Then death is no more a question at all. It's no more a question, can we overcome death or not? Then death doesn't enter more as a question into the picture. So you see how she ends it here and how we have to see that such a question like death or any other question can be dealt with on the plane of Christian Science or of absolute Christian Science or on divine science, and each time it will be a different way of handling it. That's why I felt in October I would like perhaps once to go through these levels of science to make it plain so that when we go on in the textbook we will be much more familiar with these things.